Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with tax and estate planning attorney Paul Grant. Have Paul with us once again this week, and something that's close to your heart, not just estate planning, but taking care of those young people in our lives. You've got a couple of young girls. Of course, they're in their 20s now, 18, 20, you said.
Yeah, they are.
But they've gone through different stages, obviously, where they were younger, and you had to have a guardianship plan, how to take care of them if you, unfortunately, had passed away. And we're still discussing that this week, how to take care of that big chunk of money that might be coming to one of your children and making sure that it lasts.
Yeah, that's right. This will wrap up this series, and we'll move on to something else next week. And so, my girls now are 21 and 22. As a matter of fact, last week we had Gabriella's birthday. She's now 21. And so, I don't know where the break of life is. I keep trying to find it, but it just keeps going on me faster and faster. Mm-hmm. And so it's a real concern of what happens if parents pass away. And we've been talking about guardianships, but what if something happened to me right now and my daughters are 21 and 22? Are they financially ready now that they're no longer guardians? They need guardians, so they're not minors anymore. But are they financially ready to receive and for me to hand off my estate? So we kind of want to wrap up this discussion point of moving out of the true minor stage and into the transition of how do we develop an estate plan from being a minor or being in your young 20s and passing off wealth in a more precise, strategic, and what I would even suggest boldly is a more biblical way to hand off an estate plan. So we looked at Proverbs 13:11, and we used that last week. And Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." And we related that to that inheritors often have similar characteristics as a lottery winner. Mm-hmm. That money that is just all of a sudden out of the blue because the financial training has not been built and they don't have a solid foundation of what it means to manage money and grow into money, then the kind of the natural impulse of life kicks in. And funny thing, there's a story in the Bible that talks about this. So okay, who knew, right?
Yeah, all right.
So I'm going to take everybody to the prodigal son, because we often don't think of the prodigal son as a wealth transfer story. We often look at it as a what happens if somebody's living out in the world, they separated themselves from the father's house, and the mercy that God has in welcoming us back. And then we also relate somewhat to the older child, which is, I continued and I worked. Well, we know that that a part of what that prodigal son story is talking about is, but you had everything at your disposal. I never wanted you to work for me. I wanted you to understand that you're my child. And so therefore everything is mine. Well, I'm going to back up to the very beginning of the story because my brain operates very differently than most people's. And we're going to look at these first couple of verses and how it relates to estate planning.
Okay.
So in Luke, we're back at chapter 15 and verse 11. And it says, Jesus was talking and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And he divided unto them his living." So many days later, after the young son gathered everything he had, he took a journey into a far country, and there he wasted all that was given to him with riotous or improper living. Well, welcome to estate planning.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting. We look at this story and we almost breeze over that there of what happens and what how it lines up with Proverbs 13, which is that money given hastily will be dwindled. And yet the prodigal son demonstrates this exact same characteristic. So we look at the prodigal son, and now isn't it interesting, the audacity back in this age for a Hebrew son to go to his father and who is still living and say, give me my portion. And and most individuals interpret this as being, give me a third of your estate. So there would have been two sons, but the father would have needed to live on a portion of his estate as well. So it wouldn't have been half. It would have potentially been a third that was given out. Now, here's the other thing. The scripture says, and he divided unto them. Who's the other them? Well, that's the other son.
Okay.
I think we missed that point.
Yeah, I've never noticed that.
Is that both sons received their portion. As a matter of fact, the other son who stayed home would have been at that meeting. He would have received his third as well. We breeze over that because if we, this is not a part of what we really want to look at, but just for thought, if you go back and reread, think of the audacity of the second son to now come back after he was just giving a third of the estate and say, but you never killed the fatted calf for me. What do you mean? I just gave you a third of the estate, you ding-a-ling.
Right.
So here we have a third being given to a son now that is going to separate from the father's heart, to separate from the father's covering, to separate from the father's place of security and safety, and walk in to a foreign land. Okay. And that foreign land that we understand is the way of this world. Okay. This world is supposed to be a place where we're foreigners, is what the scripture tells us. That we're in a foreign place right now. We are not in our final destination, our place of home. And so this scripture then talks about, if we separate our heart and our, and who we are from the Father's heart, and our view of money, and begin to take on the world's perspective of money, that we will begin to dwindle it away because this world is a trap. The way that this world says to hold on to money. Remember the storage barns in another parable?
Right.
The man said in his own heart, I'm going to build storehouses and I'm going to build them. And he said, you fooled, but your life is required of you. That is the way of this world's thinking. It is not a generous, passionate heart towards God's godly financial viewpoint. So here we see a prodigal son separating away from the father's house, and he was given sudden money. He was given money hastily. And what did he do? Well, exactly what Proverbs said he would do. He dwindled it away. He had parties. He enjoyed himself. And all of a sudden, in the ways of the world, it was all gone. Until he had to submit to this earthly system of going and seeking for jobs, seeking of how to submit to ungodly people for his income instead of trusting in the heart of God for his provision still, until he woke up and said, I'm going to return home.
Right.
So what we see is that it is really the way of this world. And when we are attached to this world, I am going to even be bold enough to say it is the lure, and it is more natural for us to start turning our hearts towards the way of this world in how we think towards money. And when we are talking about inheritances, when we're talking about passing money from one generation to another generation, we need to have a full vision of what does it mean that I can set up a way that the transition is guided and the transition is given in a manner that will assist those that we leave behind in fulfilling a godly purpose for money. Most clients really don't want to put a ton of strings around their estate planning. But
are you suggesting that they should?
Well, I've just watched what inheritors do.
Right.
And I've watched it over and over, actually. And the discussion of this scripture, I have watched played out. See, I've watched individuals in their older 60s and younger 70s. So mom was in her 90s until she passed away. And it is amazing to me that within a five-year period of time, the inheritance was completely spent. So I have one 70-year-old that was living off of about a little under $2,000 a month. When the inheritance came in, all of a sudden they needed to live off of $6,000 to $7,000 a month for a period of 5 years until all of a sudden all of that was gone, to where they raised their lifestyle, they got used to a certain lifestyle, and now it plummeted again. By the way, that's why most lottery winners go to bankruptcy. Hmm. They increase their lifestyle and it's unsupportable by their natural life. Hmm. And they run out of what they had, and they're left with a massive gap of lifestyle compared to the ability to withstand it. Inheritances have the opportunity to do the same thing.
But it's not necessarily an issue, because older people who get an inheritance can be just as foolish with money as young people.
That's right. Age is not the determining factor.
Not the deal. Yeah.
It really is not. It is, how have we trained them in proper finances? Do they have financial skills? And many people don't. So they're going to need more guidelines if it is a value of yours that you help your child withstand these impulses and the draw from the world. And even very godly individuals can make wrong decisions with their finances. Mm-hmm. Okay? I've made wrong decisions with finances. Listeners, you've made wrong decisions with finances. It's just what happens. But that is a part of the teaching. So if we have a opportunity then to kind of unwind, because Proverbs 13 says, he who gathers little by little
mm-hmm.
will increase it. So why in estate planning do we have this sense that says, oh, I have to have hands off, and I'll let them just deal with the money, regardless of the age, let alone if you're still in your 20s. It makes a little more sense that we would want to have some guidelines. But even individuals who are older, if they've never had financial training, they need the little by little to work themselves into understanding the true gift that they've been given. And so we need to have, again, that discussion of what is your vision for estate planning. I'm not here to dictate. I'm here to guide and just ask the hard questions so that we can come to the right conclusion for you and your family. And it's your values, it's not mine, that need to be implemented in your plan.
Okay, if you feel like you do need a plan, you need to set up some kind of situation that's going to benefit your young dependents, whether they're maybe 15 years old, maybe in their early 20s, and you want to have a plan that will change over time, but you want to have a plan that is going to take care of them and help them and guide them on how to take care of what you leave behind in a proper way. If you need help with this and would like to get in touch with Paul Grant, how do they do that, Paul?
Head over to our website. It's thelegacyandfaith.com, legacyandfaith.com. I added the in front of there, so don't put the in
there.
Legacy. It's legacyandfaith.com. It's great if I know my own website. Mm-hmm. Podcasts, you can ask questions, and you need to start through an educational format, but that is now available through a webcast as well as the opportunity to come to the office and sit in on it live.
Okay, legacyandfaith.com. We'll be back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Tuesday, July 10th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and register for our upcoming seminar on July 10th at 6 p.m. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Legacy and Faith Show this week, talking about how to hand off your estate to your young people in your life. You've got some kids, maybe young adults. Want to make sure that they don't fritter away that inheritance. And we can actually control this in the way that we hand this off, Paul, with some of the estate planning that you can offer.
Yeah, we really can. And I know that it's a that I use a term, and it, you may be sitting at home thinking, "Well, that's just a nuance of a word," but it really isn't. So we just talked about control, but versus guidance, and I really do emphasize that this can be guidance. People kind of push back at the word control and whether or not that's a proper attribute. So, look, sometimes we need to have very strong controls in place. We know that our child has addiction issues. We know that they will spend everything that we give them. Those are the easy ones. It's actually the responsible ones that I have a hard time talking about this transition with parents. Now, if we're talking about minors, because that's kind of where we've started this past month-long journey, then it's really easy for me to have the conversation about, well, in your 20s, you know, let's get them through college, and then we'll split everything out, and they'll each get their own trust, and then we can start building in some of the safeguards through their older 20s into their 30s. As a matter of fact, we can even link them up with whoever has been managing their money over that time period, their successor trustee. We can link them together as co-trustees so that who's been managing and who's been assisting them can teach them what does it mean to run this small trust. So it's really like running a small business. So most small businesses need a CPA. Most small businesses need some financial input. They need other wisdom from outside sources. And so that's what we're trying to do with the handoff of this trust in estate planning. So if they've come out of being a minor, if you know, God forbid something happened to my wife and I, and I were, and my girls were to inherit in their young 20s, we have set up in our estate plan the opportunity for, first of all, them to be cared for, but then at a certain age, and we usually talk about 25 or getting the youngest children out of college. Mm-hmm. In other words, get them past that stage to where they can focus on still being a kid. 'Cause 22, 21, my girls are still kids. And right. Now that I'm 50, I think they're kids. When 22, I was an adult, let me tell you. But right now, how perspectives change. So So we want to get them to a certain age that they are now in more of an adult pattern with their life. And now it's an appropriate time to go ahead and separate the girls or the kids into their own individual trusts. Again, if you have a maybe one of those oops children, right, who's 10 years younger than any of the other kids,
right.
Well, that's a different type of planning. We're not going to get into that, but there are solutions to that. So for the most part, we're ready to divide the estate and hand it off, but we want some mentorship. So even though they're in their 20s, let's continue mentorship as far as finances. The individual who managed the money built relationships with CPAs or financial advisors. Let's bring the kids in and get those relationships built up and that wisdom handed off in appropriate way. And then when they're at a certain age, we can then fully hand off the trust to them, but not just write a check. And maybe over their 30s, we say, well, they can use some of it for their wants now, but we still want to preserve a lot of it for their needs. And maybe with each year, every other year, every 5 years, whatever you believe is right for your kids, we can say, well, now you can use a little bit more for your wants, but we've always got your needs taken care of.
So that much nuance can be built into the plan.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I go back to Proverbs 13, whoever gathers little by little will increase it. And so the learning of I have some money. And look, if I said, okay, girls, at the age of 30, I'm going to give you 10% of your estate. You can just do whatever you want. If they blew that, right? Because what are they probably going to do? They're probably going to blow it. And so, let's let them have an opportunity with little by little.
Okay. Because see what that feels like.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Ooh, that went faster than I thought. Man, that boat does look good, but now there's additional expenses. Oh, wow, I didn't know vacation cost that much money. Whatever life scenarios, whatever their wants are, let's give them some training. What that looks like.
What about, you know, we think of college. A lot of kids, let's say, they determined that they didn't want to go to college.
Yeah.
But yet you put so much provision in there for the 4-year expensive university, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's fine. But
they just lose it then, or what?
Well, no.
You only get this if you go to college.
Yeah. See, and I really don't have too many people who put. And so, for my opinion, that's kind of where we start entering into control versus into guidance. And the control mechanism is if you do this, then you get that, versus the guidance mechanism is, well, I'm going to allow you to have greater and greater freedoms in the planning, versus if you act a certain way, then you get. So in my brain, okay, and I've been doing this for a while, so maybe I've just talked myself into that that's the difference between control versus guidance. Mm-hmm. But for me, guidance is the process of I'm going to give it to you little by little because I want you to mature into financial understanding, financial knowledge, and give you a little bit to see that it does fly out the door quickly. And so I've still got money that I'm going to give you more because it's not a performance issue. It's just a guidance issue versus the performance is you do this and then you get that.
And there's probably both ways.
Yes,
some
absolutely.
People do have try and do a lot of controlling.
That's right. And remember, this is your plan. It's not my plan. So therefore, if you want to control,
you want to have that kind of control.
Let's do it. No problem. I can do it for you. But for, I think a high majority of individuals I work with, it's really not the control. It really is the guidance. It's that vision of saying, I really want money to last for a lifetime. See, I ask a question. Let's say that a couple has $2 million and two kids. And so now each of the kids is going to get $1 million. So my question to you, regardless of the age of your clients, of your children, are at what point are you okay that your kids went through all of that? So if in 2 years they blew the entire $1 million, are you okay? And here's what the parents say. But my kids, no. See, you don't get the luxury of watching what I have to watch. And we, as parents, are designed to hope in their strengths and forgive their weaknesses. See, you come in as a parent tarnished. that, oh, my kids have. They're responsible. No, they're not. I promise you, they're not. Okay, it's my job to take the worst case scenario. I've said this in many other times, the worst case scenario, and it is my job to actually protect your vision as you envision it. So we have to have this conversation, and trust you me, it's uncomfortable sometimes that I am sitting there telling parents that's not who your kids are, and I've never even met the kids because I have statistics.
You're an astute observer of human nature.
Yes, that's correct. So I have statistics. I have the word that supports me, and that if we hand it all off very quickly, chances are they won't. Now, many will, and that's great. Mm-hmm. My job is to protect. So we can have a who gathers little by little will increase it versus the wealth gained hastily will dwindle. And that's really what the type of planning that I try to help clients with. And so I don't want for beneficiaries to come back to me and say, man, I spent it too fast, versus somebody who will come to me and say, thank you so much for putting some guidance in here because I still have some of it and it's still lasting me. So where are those guidelines? Where are those boundaries? I don't know. It's up to the parents. Mm-hmm. It's your estate plan. I'm here to be a voice of reason, but we need to have the discussion. So if the first step in even developing any estate plan, whether you have minors, whether your kids are in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, we need to start with the discussion. So you can go over to legacyandfaith.com. There are podcasts. There's opportunities for educational sessions. And there's ways to communicate with me. You can shoot me a quick email. Would be glad to reach back out to you and answer questions or invite you in for an opportunity to sit down and have this full conversation about how do we transfer wealth in a biblical way.
LegacyandFaith.com for more details. Always great information. The Legacy and Faith Show with tax and estate planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at LegacyandFaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.